Hey, everybody, this is Colin McMahon, and this is Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 14. I got it right this time. Yes. And it's recording, too, which is another good thing. And we're, with the advent of everything coming up, DC right around the corner, and Marvel kicking in big with their schism and everything, we're actually going to take a break from that. And today we're going to talk about some non-Marvel and DC stuff that people are enjoying. So we'll go around the room to let everybody know who's here. And starting to my left, because I know you guys like to see a seating chart in your mind when you're listening. we'll start to my left.
Sean Sisson.
Ryan Sargent.
Matt Little.
Okay, wait. Computer people.
Nick Perling. Chad Ramston.
Jeremy Dan.
Adam Russell.
Joe F.
Jason Goldmiller.
You couldn't hear that. That's okay. We have a new guy. We have Jason's here. So.
Eat the mic.
There was an interesting article that they just updated again today on Comic Book Resources. And they call it the late list, which I kind of enjoy looking at because it's a big bugaboo for me as a reader and as a store. And typically, the main books on this list are non-Marvel and DC, although we know Marvel and DC can certainly be late. And it was fun. I just sat down writing down some of the worst offenders that are out there. And some of them aren't bad, like Darkness and Witchblade both ended up being 2.5 months late. Lady Mechanica 3, we're still waiting for at 3 months. But it's fun, some of the ones. I know Chad has been asking me about this one, so I kind of enjoyed it. At 3 years late is Gemini number 5.
Yes.
So it's coming someday. We're hoping to get it in under the 5-year mark. Another one that bugs the heck out of me, it was by Simon Spurrier, who had a little spurt. I haven't seen much of him lately. But the artist was Fraser Irving, which introduced me to his art, and I loved it, and I pushed this book on everybody. And it was called Gutsville. Real neat. Pilgrim ship gets swallowed by a whale, and they live off the fat inside the whale. But they're still living pilgrim society. Really neat. All of a sudden, the whale also swallows a Russian nuclear sub. That's the end of issue 3. We never got to see what happened after that, because that one is now 4 years late.
He's too busy writing for Bleeding Cool.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I'm okay with history, but I thought Puritans were of a time where there was not nuclear power.
Right, no, but the society has kept going all this time, but it's been unchanged.
Gotcha.
Right, it's just never changed.
Old whale.
So, yeah, well, it's an old, very old whale. So that was neat, but then you have some of the Warren Ellis stuff that's gone missing, like Anna Mercury, 2 years, Captain Swing at 1 year, Dr. Sleepless at 2.5 years. And it's the one thing that when you get away from Marvel and DC where you have a rigid structure, when you get into just creator-owned stuff, they kind of get their own schedules. And it's the one thing that scares me and hurts books more than anything.
Fear Agent, like that's one that really hurt the book.
Oh, I completely agree. That ships, maybe 3 a year, and I'm lucky if I sell one. And that might sell in the graphic novel version. But I honestly can't remember the last time somebody bought one of those.
Didn't they just solicit the final one this month?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be 40 issues over 8 years or something. You know, it's.
I'll read the omnibus in 5 years.
And then they say, "Oh, we didn't support the book." It's like, come on, you didn't support us. A big one right now is Nick Spencer, real big star. What? I'll be mad to him, sure. What? No, but I'm just saying he came on real strong with Morning Glories, got real popular. DC gave him a book. Marvel gave him a book. All of a sudden, he forgot the books that got him going. Morning Glories just came out. It had been, I think, 3 months since the last issue. Infinite Vacation.
Fear Agent.
What?
Same story with Fear Agent. Rick Remender got lulled away, and he forgot about his main book.
Well, you know what? He was slow before he went on to... Well, Punisher was late, but he was slow before he even got onto X-Force, which hasn't been slow.
That's been, yeah.
But all his other stuff that he's done has been dreadfully late. But Infinite Vacation came out. I pushed number one really hard. Number two came out. It was late. Number three was due out, I believe, in March. I believe now is August. So we're 5 months late on his creator-owned stuff. And, of course, his excuse will be, I got, a big gig at Marvel. That's great. But now, even Hickman, for as much as he's doing, what was that? The Red Mask for Mars, I think, ended up, it was 6 months to a year late.
Uh-oh. Can you turn
down
your volume?
Your volume?
We're getting a little feedback, that's all.
So I'm all for the small guys. I do, you know, I carry just anything that's in previews that's not manga-ish, I'll carry at least one or two copies of. And then it's kind of their job to, you know, promote it and sell it. I'll put it out there, but I can't hand sell every little book. But if they don't come out, there's, you know, I have a box waiting for next issue, and it's kind of a sad box, you know, when it just sits there. You know, when's the next one coming? What was it? The Goon. I had to dig up the old Goon issues because we had the first issue in, you know, 6 or 8 months come out. So I think he said he hit his 10-year anniversary with issue 30. I'm like, that's not good. You know, no. So I'm looking in, like, Spawn, they're promoting right now 15 issues in 2011, which is great, but the current one that came out was 7 months after it was first solicited, so...
Didn't they?
Because the tree falls in the woods and no one's there.
Yeah, true, true. Hey, I saw 6 copies. So
wasn't Image United on that list too? Which
Yes. Yeah. You know, it was. I was going off the second list they just put out. But yeah, that was on the first one.
Right.
That one is so off the rails; it's not even funny. Even though everybody looked at it initially and went, "This is never going to come out." Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yeah, we promise it will. Uh huh.
Well, and that surprised me. Like, I never really paid too much attention to it, but I figured it was done by now. And then I saw that, what is it, the third one hasn't come out yet?
Correct.
And was that a 5 or 6-part series?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It must not have had too many consequences on the Image universe since all the other books, like Invincible, have gone on. And
yep.
Everything
now,
else went on, so.
Weren't there like 8 covers per issue?
Oh, yes,
books?
Absolutely.
You're probably still finishing the covers.
Yeah. But I do, and I want to make a public apology to Aspen. They are also notoriously late. For a long time, they put guaranteed sale, you know, guaranteed in stores on a certain date. And I always laugh because I'm like, well, what's the guarantee? If it misses the date, what? It'll not to me, not
no,
returnable to me, but I'm just saying they
me.
Made a guarantee that had nothing that they guaranteed if it wasn't late. But when they announced this executive assistant weekly series, and I laughed, and I think I publicly mocked them. But so far, we're at book 5, and they've hit every week so far. I didn't look at my invoice close enough to see what's coming next week, but. I'm proud of them.
So
it doesn't sell, but it's coming out weekly.
So as a reader, would you rather have a somewhat late quality book, or would you rather have regular shipping books? Because DC is saying they will now ship on time, and they'll change creative teams to make that happen. So would we rather have consistent, somewhat late books, or consistently shipping books with different creative teams?
Worked for like 40 years.
Yeah, well...
I wish you could have both.
I wish we could have both, but I think you can count on one hand the number of artists right now that sell a book. There aren't really that many people that you only buy the book because of the artist.
Right.
So if it was a different artist on a book, I don't see that. And I'm not saying it's writer-driven either, but right now I'd say like people are willing to wait for Batwoman right now because J.H. Williams, they wouldn't want to see someone else do that book. There's a lot of excitement about Jim Lee doing the Justice League. Name another one that's where you're buying it because of the artist.
Besides indie stuff?
Well, besides, you know, Crater, where they're completely tied in with that book.
Batman
I'm saying,
Dark Knight was supposed to be, you know, a big thing because it was Finch.
Right, but is Finch that big of a draw?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Not
no, and I think someone else, you know.
Rob Liefeld, Hawk and Dove, man.
Well, I know you're liking that one. Hey, you bought both covers of Infinite, so.
I did?
No, you didn't.
I did? What?
All that anticipation has really shifted to the writers now. You know, everyone's
like,
it is.
Oh, it's a very writer-driven, yeah.
It
definitely is.
What?
I get Wizard of Oz.
Well, sure, but now with that one would not be hurt if it was delayed.
Yeah.
I don't know how it ends.
Well, no, but I'm just saying that's someone that somebody's going to pick up. It's not a case of excitement waiting for the next issue waning.
It doesn't cross over with a lot of books.
No, no. Well, that Ozma's crossing over with Marvelous, but other than that... But that's a different, more niche book. But something like Fear Agent, when you don't see it for 6 months, it doesn't even dawn on you that there's a new one out. Where when something ships 3 weeks after the one, it's fun to see people's reaction of, oh, another one already. And they get, you know, they're happy to see that book. But all of a sudden when you hit 6-7 weeks, people forget what happened in that previous issue and lose interest.
And some of those other, like the more popular indies that... can be late, like Invincible, for instance. I know the monthly has a habit of being...
That's on the list,
yeah.
too. That was 3.5 months
How late. Many people read Invincible single issues versus Invincible and
sure.
trades?
Yeah.
So when there's that when there's that delay, because I read it, I love Invincible, mm-hmm. but I only read it in trades,
right.
so waiting forever and a day, it doesn't really click to me that, wow, it's been 2 months since the last issue.
But now that one's a little different also just because you have the same writer doing the same, telling his big story.
Right.
So if you, once you're kind of on that train, you're going to stay on it.
Sure.
But a book like, you know, Secret Avengers, where you're switching teams all the time, it's a much easier book to drop.
Yeah.
And people do drop because they're late. I can, you know, I look on
the shelf,
I go, you know, I'm looking, Kick-Ass is popping up on the Final Order cutoff list every week. I can't even tell you how long, how late it is now. Probably at least 6 months at this point.
Like 8 or 9.
And I don't know how to order it. I sold 42 copies of number one, and I sold 22 copies of number two. Am I going to drop down to 10 copies of number three? I have no idea. And I think it's all because of lateness.
Enthusiasm has waned because it doesn't look like that movie's going to happen now?
Well, it's waned because if it's never going to come out, why should I bother? And so when the next...
On Mark Millar's behalf, like, do you think his enthusiasm has waned because he doesn't want to work on a project that doesn't turn into a movie in a month?
Sure, yeah.
Well, I think all his icon projects go like that, right? Nemesis was that way.
But my
Superior's
sure.
this way, where we get one or two, three, get you really excited and into it. And
don't forget about War
nothing.
Heroes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
probably
yeah.
the latest one.
Yeah.
That's a DC. That
that's an image.
Image.
But
we just saw Superior in this month's previews. The last two issues of it are being solicited.
Probably re-solicited, yeah.
Re-solicited, but
yeah.
that's been 5-6 months.
At least. I pulled it off the shelf. It's been so long. But, and that's another problem where with that one, like one of the issues I can't get anymore. So now I'm totally dead stock. But I wonder with something like with him, I'm assuming he probably doesn't need the money if he can wait this long between issues. So why not wait till it's all done? You know, if it's a 4-issue story, get it all done, then put it out so we know it's going to hit a monthly thing. Because I know it could sell much better.
That's never an option.
Why? It's never? You're saying it isn't, or why isn't it?
No, I don't understand why that's, for whatever reason, never an option.
Yeah.
To get everything in a can and then solicit it.
Because I'm sure, Kick-Ass is all done. They're just waiting because Romita's doing Everything Under the Sun right now.
Yeah, I could take him off Avengers.
No, they're going to keep him there because they know you like him.
They could take him off Avengers and let him write Kick-Ass. I'd be thrilled.
But why couldn't, you know, wait till Kick-Ass is ready to go? Were they trying to tie it in with a movie or DVD
yes.
release? Okay, but it's done now.
I still think the original graphic novel has a place.
Yeah.
I really think Kick-Ass.
Yes and no, but Kick-Ass, it had its serial beats. It had the dramatic end of the issue to make you want to read the next one. But honestly, I couldn't tell you what happened in number two to make me want to read number three.
There are certain creators now that I wait for the trade. I don't care how good the beats are for a serial. Like, Warren Ellis. Like, as much as I love Warren Ellis, other than Secret Avengers or something marvelous, where I hope he's going to be someone on time, mm-hmm. he's a trade. When was the last time when we saw Captain Swing, right? We have
yeah, no, that's on the list. That's 1 year late. Yeah.
Super God.
That's done.
Is that done?
I think that finished, yeah.
Well,
I know.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things now I just say, you know what, I'm going to wait for the trade. Because, you know, you pick up Captain Swing and it's like, why is there a floating vampire ship over London?
Because?
Yeah.
Why do you think it's long for that to happen, or?
Well, no, but I'm picking up an issue I haven't read the previous one in a year, so, you know, why is that there? Like, I gotta go back and remember something I read over a year ago to figure out. And I don't buy Warren Ellis' hard drive crash, because anybody who's as technology savvy as him should be backing up. But that's just me personally.
Well, no, from what I understand, he backed it. It crashed. He gave the backup to the shop. The owner died. And the family sold all the contents of the store. That's his story.
That's a weird story.
Wow.
Well, that's a bad look.
Yeah, that's his story. So that's why he doesn't have
it.
Anything. What?
And he's sticking to it.
That's what he says.
He should trust younger people with his stuff, I guess.
Because I liked Anna Mercury. I mean, that was a good book.
Yeah, and it just kind of stopped, yeah. So it's just, that's my only, at least I know with Marvel and DC, other than various
All-Star.
Things like the 12, All-Star, yeah. But for your main
Max
books...
Titles.
What?
Max titles are later.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just, that was one of those nice things I liked about the DC relaunch, was they're kind of putting their foot down, saying books will be on time. Because it's a big thing for me.
If I see the word Kevin Smith on a book, I'm going to get in a trade.
Oh, sure.
Well,
Well, I haven't even read whatever the last one was because I'm waiting for the second half to finish. Widening Gyre?
Widening Gyre.
Widening Gyre Part 1.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a three-miniseries thing, too.
Yeah, okay. I'll wait a long time.
Like Kasada's
Daredevil the Target.
One More Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, One More Day. Heck, Daredevil, yes, Daredevil Father.
Target's the
That
worst.
Came out.
Oh, it did? Oh, yeah, it sure did.
I have that
in
hardcover.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out.
I got mine sketched by Quesada.
What convention?
Chicago 2003.
2007, 2008, 2009.
What did he draw?
Just Daredevil's face.
Superman. That's cool.
Yeah.
Superman.
How long did you have to wait in line to get it?
Batman.
How long did you wait to get it?
A long time.
Were you there, like, first in line, or...?
Friday at 10 a.m.
You two want a room?
I'm just continuing the dialogue, man.
It's like Daredevil, like original art.
Yeah?
So I have a fair amount of it.
I know someone else that has a collection like that.
Yeah.
Named Colin.
Somebody with a Mike Diodato Daredevil sketch in his bathroom.
In his bathroom, not hung up, still sitting on the floor. Please don't spill on it.
At least it's framed now.
Yeah, it is framed now. Yeah, it's off the shelf. It's no chance of getting wrinkled anymore. Oops. Took a while.
You mentioned having stuff in the can and done. And I guess I go back and read older comics. Like, I read some old Jack Kirby, and I think, you know, he put this out, like, every month, or at least every other month, on time, every time. And that's good work. You know, his work's pretty intricate. And I guess I think what's changed about the way people draw comics now versus back then that
I think I know.
Keeps people off schedule or gets people off schedule, is it a work ethic thing? Is it that some people just prefer to work a month in advance and that's it?
You didn't have DVDs and video games back then.
Well, that's part of it. I think a lot of it also is all the conventions, and it's not just a case of where it's convention season. Mm-hmm. It's now pretty much year-round.
Twitter.
They are certainly more easily distracted, and I don't want to, you know, beat my old man. The kids these days aren't committed. But I think that's part of it. He grew up in a, you know, in the Depression, in a rough time. And it was, you have to do this work to get paid.
Yeah.
He did that work to get paid. Now it's, oh, if you do this work to get paid, oh, hey, Joe Quesada, I'm a little late on this book. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, I was so late. Yeah, you know, come on down. We'll do a beer bong and everything
Jack
will be okay.
Kirby was putting out all those books. He was essentially hacking it out. Imagine if, I mean, and it was brilliant work. Imagine if he had as much time, like 3 years, to do a book.
Right.
It would have been, I mean...
Yeah,
well, marvelous.
And I think that's one of the things, just stylistically. I don't mean this as a slight to the artist, but in Jack Kirby's days, they were cartooning versus now they're trying to illustrate.
Yeah.
Just in the level of detail, a quality, because I would hold Jack Kirby up to anything. But, you know, it was that quick, loose style that they were able to crank out, you know.
Right, but and then take it another way. Take, like, Mike Diodato now only does digital. So how much quicker can he do something on a digital, where he, especially when he can cut and paste, use this face over here, I'll use it over here, I'll blow it up a little. Mm-hmm. How much quicker can he do a book where Jack Kirby, you know, everything was pencil, then ink on a piece of paper, so... You know, I need a photo reference. Boom, I can go on the internet. I can find, you know, as opposed to having to go find a magazine or a book to see what some building looked like.
But that said, Jack Kirby, his creativity and his genius comes from the fact that he had to create all that stuff from his head, not from Google Images.
I'm in outer space.
Hey, Chad, can you turn your volume down a little bit?
Echo.
I'm sorry, you were on mute.
Oh, okay. Well, then it shouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been anything.
Well, then put us back on mute, please.
So what's everybody's non-favorite DC or Marvel title right now?
Favorite non-DC or Marvel title?
Yep.
I'd say, but the only one I read regularly is Walking Dead, but I don't want to give away for
the Boys.
People. Oh, sorry. Waiting for the new trade. Oh, the Boys. Everybody here reads The Boys, right? So that's not an issue.
As I said last time, the only non-DC thing I'm reading is Rocketeer. But I like that.
I would have to say The Comeback Kings.
Hate you.
I would probably say...
Well, you said American Vampire last week.
Well, that's Vertigo. So.
But that's not superhero.
Not DC mainstream.
If we take anything from those two, I'd say Blue Estate or...
Which had the best cover of the week.
Oh, that is a great cover.
That's the best cover of the week.
Yeah, and that's just a great book. I mean, if you like spy kind of thriller stuff...
I've only read issue one, but the covers have been...
Definitely a good read.
It's got a real hot girl with a camera, and then it says The Money Shot.
Uh-huh. Jeremy?
That's hard for me. The only thing that's non-Marvel DC that I read monthly is G.I. Joe, and I don't really consider G.I. Joe indie. But I read a lot of stuff in trade, like Stuff of Legend, which I was talking up tonight, and Mouse Guard. I love Mouse Guard. I can't read it monthly. I have to wait for
it doesn't come out monthly. Well, yeah. So, yeah. But that's another book that's really not hurt because the people
will
wait.
It's a bookstore book, yeah. Yeah, that one I don't mind waiting for. Invincible I don't mind waiting for.
Okay, Adam, Spider-Man doesn't count. So.
That's it. Okay.
You only read Spider-Man?
No, I only read... I only have Marvel DC on mine. So.
Oh, yeah? Actually, the last non-Marvel DC book that I read was Astounding Wolfman. So, you know, it's in the same vein as Invincible and Walking Dead, but...
Gosh, why?
What? Same company?
Writer?
Yeah, same writer. The you know what, though? All the things that people love about Invincible was there. It read better in the trade because of the decompressed storytelling, and it had the twist endings.
Or you meant it read better in the issues?
No, read better. Oh, wait.
What are you saying?
It was episodic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it in the trades.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. I'd say pick up those trades. Anyway, pick up those trades at Pittsburgh Comics.
But I don't carry Imagecraft. No. I have them all in stock. Jason, you going to jump in? Oh, he's scared.
Suicide Girls.
Sweet.
The pictures at the back.
Yeah, it's just for the pictures, though.
You don't read it for the articles?
There's articles.
I haven't actually opened one, surprisingly.
But you bought them all?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? You're waiting for the trade?
Okay, yeah, waiting for the trade.
Extra pictures in the back.
I'm going to guess sketch trades or something. I don't know.
That's a book I have to bag. A customer brought number one up to me and said, "You might want to bag this." I'm like, "What? You know, if there's naked women, you know, not horrible. You know, I certainly have other books like that, like Butcher Baker, Righteous Maker."
Was like number three on my list of.
Was it okay? I read number one and went, "What the?" But Suicide Girls actually has nude photos in the back, which that could get me in jail. So that one was bagged.
Local smut peddler.
Yeah, pretty much. That's my
fun. They'll be working for you for a change.
Yeah, that's my big fear going to the PTA meeting. Oh, that's the smut peddler. You know, then, yeah. Hi, kids.
Girls right next to Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. That's the last article I want to read on my phone.
It's not close at all. Okay, Sean?
Well, I get nothing but Marvel and DC on a monthly basis, but I do get a ton of trades. So, Lock and Key would actually be my favorite.
What do you like about it?
Everything about it. The writing's great. It's very character-driven. It doesn't go for the shock value. Every issue doesn't end with some huge surprise. It just is a continuous story, and the build-up of the story throughout the whole thing is what makes you want to continue to read it.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned that, I don't know if you mentioned that on your Facebook or if you mentioned it last week or the week before, but when you mentioned it, it reminded me, A, why I was interested in the first place, and B, why I hate myself for not picking it up yet, and that's because it's just written by Stephen King's son.
Yes.
And I know that's like entirely mainstream media for me to go along and just be like, oh, this must be good, but honestly, I don't see why it wouldn't be good, you know, I mean...
I was about to bring up that I like that he doesn't, you know, shout that pedigree. You know, he doesn't use the King name.
Mm-hmm.
And, nothing about it has anything to do with Stephen King.
I mean, it's a horror book. I mean, it's...
It is.
It's the same genre that his dad wrote it. And, you know, when Colin showed it to me the first time, he said, oh, this is Stephen King's kid.
Uh-huh.
I probably wouldn't have given it a shot without that reference.
Yeah.
But you know,
it would have been a hard
thing. It's not selling.
Really?
I don't know what happened with it, but I think I sell one or two copies.
The second volume of it was just so out there for me. I just couldn't. Like, that's why I dropped it. After the second volume, they're, like, unlocking the back of some dude's head, and it's popping open like a garbage can, and people are getting in and out, and I'm kind of like...
Well, see, that's the first book.
Oh, well,
the first trade is all set up
for
what comes after that when they finally move to Key House and... And the reason it's called Key House is the multiple different keys in it that do a ton of different things.
Yeah, I think that would be a book I'd like better if I read it as a trade.
Yeah.
I think the only problem with that book is that it suffers from the glut of mainstream books out there, you know? It's like critically acclaimed, doesn't pay the bills. So no matter how big it is or how great it is, and it is great,
but
too many people are just, you know,
if you're Stephen King, they pass over that in favor of
Superman.
You don't have
to
worry about money.
But, yeah. but see, the thing is, when I first picked up the first trade, I picked it up because I thought it looked interesting. Until Colin mentioned it to me, I didn't realize that was Stephen King's kid.
Right.
I had no idea. As a matter of fact, I don't even think you mentioned it to me until after I took it home and read it. And I was like, well, that was really good. And you're like, yeah, that's Stephen King's son. And I was like, really? Because it took me by surprise.
They are some of the most nicely packaged hardcovers.
Oh, yeah, they're gorgeous hardcovers.
Oh, what are you grunting about? What are you sighing about?
My problem with the hardcovers is they're like $12 or $14 more than the paperback.
Uh-huh.
And that's, for as nice as it looks, I don't know if that's...
I don't know if it sells.
Justifies it. And then the problem when you have to wait 6 months to a year for the paperback, that might be why it's not... The volume isn't moving. Well, because, yeah, I think the... You know, I'm going to have to go look. But I think the hardcover is like 29 or 28... And the trade's 15, something like that. There's a more than normal disparity that most people think, but there's the big delay between. Like, normally, I think the paperback of 3 comes out the same time as the hardcover of 4.
Right.
So there's a big delay just because of that. So
it's about 6 issues a piece, hardcover or something. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because usually they're 6 issue minis, at least the first 2 were, I think.
And right. I do get the paperbacks, I don't get the hardcovers for it.
Yeah.
I can see why maybe all the publishers are sort of adopting a hardcover-first mentality. I mean, it works for books. Why not for comic books? Especially if the collectors are going to pay for the hardcovers. But I don't know. It seems to me for $28 for 6 issues is really steep. Well, that's even beyond the I'm going to think about it, maybe I'll still get it range for me.
It depends. Like, sometimes most Marvel hardcovers are only $5 more. To me,
right.
That's an acceptable difference to get a hardcover book versus a soft pack book.
Yeah.
But Avatar at this point now, I'm pretty sure we have to ask Colin, but I think Avatar is shipping everything in hardcover and trade at the same time.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
See, what I usually do is whatever I buy the first trade as, I usually try to stick with that throughout.
Right.
So you just sell them back, you get...
No, I don't sell back my trades. And that's part of my actual philosophy with why I get Marvel and DC books on a monthly basis and get everything else in trade. Because trades I don't sell back. I can sit them on my bookshelf, you know. Somebody comes over, starts looking through my bookshelf, I can go, hey, this is, you know, this might be something you like here. Where it's kind of hard to take a Marvel or DC, a comic book with a superhero in it and go, hey, here, check out this superhero in his nice spandex and try to read that.
I don't know, that's worked for me.
Yeah.
I've gotten lots.
It works for me sometimes, but most of the times I get, what a nerd. So...
Just the shoe fits.
Quick note. Actually, it's only a $5 difference for Lock and Key. It was Mice Templar. Somebody was making a comment on, I remember, and there $29.99.
Sean's calling in.
Sean who?
Wheatley.
$29.99 for the
Breakfast of Champions.
But yeah, Mice Templar is a $12 difference between hardcover and softcover. That's a big difference. Is that Sean?
Hello, Sean.
Is it too late to get in on the party?
No.
Jordan right in.
Oh, hey, we got him on video.
From the West Coast.
This is Sean Wheatley.
Wearing my rainbow shirt. I actually just got back from the comic shop.
Kind of fitting for the city you live in.
Uh-oh.
Hey, gotta represent.
That's city-ist.
That's not fair.
I love that city. Yeah, I love
he froze up. Oh, he's back.
So, talking about trades and how some of us collect them, what trades do you go back and reread? Like, a lot of my trades I read and are one. For example, DMZ is something I can picture myself rereading several times over.
This is actually kind of funny because after one of Nick's posts on Facebook earlier today, I responded to it. And that's the one thing I don't do. Once I read something, whether it's single issue trade or anything, I never go back and even look at it.
Really?
Ever.
I'm that way with about 90%.
I just don't see the need to ever go back and look at it. I've read it once. I know what happened. The characters progressed from there.
Once a year.
Yeah, I wish I could say once a year. I don't think it makes it that, but...
What one was it?
Watchmen. But, I mean, I've read that many times. Kingdom Come. Dark Knight Returns. Because it's fun
Sandman.
To go back and read them. Yeah, I just completely reread Sandman a couple months ago. It's fun
I
to read...
I came up tonight and read Age of Apocalypse.
There you go.
I actually I actually just bought that in a trade not too long ago, so I did reread that.
What'd you think about it the second time?
I'll be honest with you. The first time I ever read that, Age of Apocalypse, back when I was younger, Generation Next was by far my least favorite of all of the books for Age of Apocalypse.
Candyman or Sugar Man and all
that. Rereading it through in the trade, though, okay. That was actually my favorite of them.
Oh, really?
Was that dark?
Yes, yeah. It was very dark compared
Generation
to the other ones.
Generation Next was really, and the ending is like just like crazy. I mean, it's so much darker than any of the other books.
Yep.
Especially because it's Colossus and he does like the last thing in the universe you would imagine.
Yep. What's he do? I forget.
He leaves the students behind to save his sister.
He lets them die.
Oh, wow.
But when you think about it, it's very in character.
Yep. But it only came out 10 years ago.
You know, there's a bumper.
You know, I have to say, spoilers, I'm the complete opposite on the spectrum for rereading. I have 3 bookshelves of trades. I could guarantee you every one of those trades I've read minimum 2, most of them 3.
How tall are the bookshelves?
Probably 5 foot by 4 foot.
Okay.
I mean, those are just my trades.
My bookshelf's bigger than your bookshelf.
But I'm just me.
I have more than anybody, so you knew.
There's a good chunk of my collection that you read.
Yeah. I find that I do go back and reread. I go back and reread single issues, too. What I'm doing a lot lately with stuff that comes out every month is I'll
buy more comics.
Like, I'll read it every time the issue comes out, and then once the story arc is finished, like, Batman and Robin has 3 issues.
We'll get to that, Sean.
So I'll go back and reread all 3 issues together once they're done.
You have to with Morrison. I mean, otherwise you don't understand it.
Not just the Morrison stuff, but I'm just talking about, like, Tomasi's run. Tomasi's run was really awesome. Read all 3 of them back to back. Even the Red Hood one that just came out was cool. But I do that with a little bit of everything. Like, when Rocketeer finishes up the Rocketeer miniseries, I'm going to read all 4 of them back to back. And probably with my trades, I've probably read all of them at least twice. And, like, you're talking about Kingdom Come, that popped up in my mind when you said that. I've probably read that at least 10 times. I think that might have been one of my first graphic novels.
It's funny. I get lucky in that way as people bring in books to sell me, and every once in a while there's a beat-up trade in it. And I've gotten I think I have a hardcover Kingdom Come that had, like, mold on it or something. I'm like, well, I can't really sell this, but
it's
I'll take it home.
Yeah.
But I could take it home.
And
mold.
I got in, I can clean it up, but it's not something I'm going to sell, but I'd like to have it.
You just have to cut it off. Oh, wait, that's cheese.
No. But, and even, I got a copy of Dark Knight Strikes Again. I know, it wasn't that great. But it came in damaged in one shipment. I'm like, you know what, I haven't read this since it came out in issues. Just took it home, threw it in the car, because every week I get to sit for half an hour at my son's drum lesson, so I need something to read. And it's great to have these books I can just, you know, throw in the back seat of the car to read whenever.
What just came in last week that you did that with?
Super Gods.
There was a comic book that came in, a trade that came in. Remember we were getting the guy that just dropped off all that free stuff?
Oh, House of M.
Yeah,
It wasn't damaged, but it was, I didn't pay for it, so I took it home to read. I haven't read it. I know where it's sitting.
Did anybody read All-Star Superman again?
Yeah.
Probably 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, me too. You know, that rereads real well.
I actually bought the single issues.
Never read it.
First time. It was before. Well, I didn't buy them as they came out. I bought them before they solicited this new all-in-one trade paperback that's coming out.
Yeah, waiting for that. Yeah.
I've read it as the issues. I've read it as the 2 hardcovers. I've read the Absolute 3 times.
Now,
me too.
Oh, hang on. Sean showing us his signed copy of Super God. Or what was that? That was All-Star Super. Was that the Omnibus? Oh, just the book?
Very nice.
Okay.
Is that my copy, Sean?
No, it's not. You didn't get anything.
It's All-Star Superman.
But it's signed to Parker Jane.
Man.
Now, did you let him talk to her? Or did he do it without her being there?
It was an adult only.
We can't hear you, Sean. We got no audio.
I mute him.
I'm mute when I'm not talking. So, I went to the over 21 part of the.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So there were no children. Those weren't allowed.
And lots of swearing in Scottish.
How'd you get in?
I had a fake ID.
He's old balls. Come on. You can get in.
Like the second time, Sean.
I thought we were trying
old
to
balls.
Keep this G.
I'm sorry.
Not OG. So you're asking about rereading trades. So I think I had mentioned earlier that, you know, I like to get my old back issues bound, and then when they come back in, all bound in the box, that's when I go back and reread them again. So
I'm still considering that one, Sean. Really,
I'm still blown away by that concept.
What, you don't reread or you don't bind?
Once you start,
He left.
I think he's going to show us one of his mind books.
He's bringing up an example.
So, there's...
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
But this is the issues.
Wait, how many issues is that? About 25?
This is 109 through 122. So, yeah, this is the Gwen Stacy death here at the end.
Wow.
Nice.
All bound up.
Now, do you go by story arc when you do that? Like, did you put Gwen Stacy's death at the end just for dramatic effect, or do you just bind by whatever number comes next? Does that matter to you?
For these 70 or late 60s, early 70s issues, the sweet spot seemed to be about 18 to 20 issues for the size. But they do a really nice job. It even has the ribbon.
Right.
And then these actually... I have these in four volumes up over the TV over my shoulder, so...
Oh, wow.
Now the comics can actually come into the house, which is great. And then when I buy a nice hardback edition of whatever, that's typically when I'll go back and reread it. So I hadn't read the Barry Windsor Smith Conan stuff since the Treasury editions came out in the early 80s, reprinting the 70s stuff. But when Dark Horse put out those two leather-bound editions, I grabbed those and reread those. Those sit on this shelf. Starman, so I guess like you guys, certain titles tend to stay on the shelf while other ones get packed up with the comics to go down to the storage area.
So are you looking...
I'm hoping everybody here is not only read Starman, but reread Starman.
Hey, Nick, you excited about the new Shade series coming out?
Very excited. Oh, it's the only thing that man can draw or write well.
I kind of feel the same way.
I mean, he's so on in that and so terrible in other places. I mean, sometimes he's mediocre.
JSA wasn't bad.
James Robinson,
who's recording. Sometimes he's okay. Any books that has a lot of characters that are being used by multiple people, it's just a failure.
So Nick,
he just can't get the voice right or whatever. But if you give him his own thing and then nobody has really a lot of preconceived notions about the characters, he's really good. But Starman is got to be in the top five best superhero things I've ever read in my life.
So, Nick, where can you get Starman, or what formats can you get Starman in? Because all I know it's in is the archives.
I have the issues, because I was buying them then, but I also, I was into trades before DC and Marvel's trade program really kicked off, so I have the fairly rare out-of-print trades, but in the last 3 years, the Starman omnibuses came out, and they're gorgeous. And they're padded with all the, I shouldn't say all, but almost all the miniseries and one-shots and things that were...
they have the text pieces?
Do they have the text pieces in those?
No.
Because that was the one thing, I remember I read the first two trades of it, and then cobbled together the rest of it in issues, and I started reading the issues and really enjoyed that text piece, and I'm like, why wouldn't they, had to spend a lot of time on it, why wouldn't they include that?
That's the one thing Criminal does. They have the little... snippets in the back of Criminal that they don't put in the trade.
Incentive to buy the issues.
That's an interesting way to sell both.
Yeah.
Was this text that like expanded the story, or
was it was the Shades journals?
Oh, okay.
And being an immortal character, he's got a lot to write about.
Well,
so did him and Wolverine used to hang out?
Probably. He's a little too prissy for Wolverine, but yeah.
I mean, how old is he? Is he?
He's a Victorian, so late 1800s, I believe. Like Sinister.
I do like those DC Omnibus editions, though. I have all four of the JLA editions, and that's like an ideal trade for me. Even in the oversized hardcover format, like 10 or 12 issues a piece, I think is just perfect. Like, if I knew that every single series that I liked was going to come out in that format with like 10 or 12 issues a piece, I would buy those instead. I'd probably
they're solid. The Kirby omnibuses are really, really nice.
Yeah, I've heard those are nice.
They're just the right amount of issues. They look, I mean, the spines on a shelf look gorgeous. I'm looking at them right now. The
kind of doubt on the paper, though. On those.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if that's nostalgic or cheapness. I never know when they make the moves. But, like, you guys have the Green Lantern omnibus?
Is that the old Gil Kane stuff?
Yeah,
Gil Kane
stuff.
Okay. I've seen it. I don't have it, but...
I have that material done in so many different ways that it's, you know, the DC archives are the thing that I don't know about you guys, but I collected a ton of those.
Yeah.
They look nice, but they stocked it, so it's like, what are you going to do?
Matt's flipping through the Kirby Green Arrow omnibus right now.
Yeah, the Demon and
The Fourth World stuff, the OMAC. They're
Commandy's
awesome.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like 22 issues, isn't it?
It's the whole run.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're solid.
Yeah, that paper is very nostalgic of 60s
but my
and
point
70s
is, like,
comics.
I don't know if that's on purpose or if that's just... I almost feel like it is.
I think it is, because I think, to me, the colors change when you change the paper, and I think maybe you would lose something on the newer paper. You'd lose some of the color effects.
Hardcore Kirby fans are so specific on what they like and what they don't, so it might be from that, you know.
Yeah.
Are you a hardcore Kirby fan?
I mean, I like Kirby. I mean, he's probably my top five for sure, but I'm not dogmatic, you know. I mean, I don't like get the, what's his Mac, Jack Kirby collector.
Oh.
I might have a few issues, but I'm not, like, you know, super hardcore.
I remember reading something, I don't know if this is true or not, that he sort of mandated what kind of paper they used on the New Gods reprints in 84.
Wow.
Because it was some sort of new paper
Baxter
that they could
paper.
Use. Yes, Baxter paper. And I guess he thought that it was, like, the best thing ever, and he really wanted his art on that because it would hold up and it would last. And I bought those back issues, those 84 reprints, and they are really nice.
If you go back, DC did a lot. They did Legion of Superheroes, and they did New Teen Titans. That paper is tremendous. Like, if you go back and pick up the issues, they hold the color really well.
Yeah, the back issues I have look like they're brand new.
I think it became insanely expensive.
I can imagine.
I'm looking at my Origin, Son of Origins, Bring on the Bad Guys. Those don't look that good. I don't know if you guys have any of those.
I don't.
So I have to ask this question. It's going to sound sacrilegious for a comic fan, but does The Watchmen get any better the second time you read it? Because it was awful.
It gets better every time I read The Watchmen.
Are you talking about the movie or the comic?
The comic book. It was.
It gets better because you skip the pirates.
Pirates is my favorite part.
That part was awful to me. I could not.
Me too.
I could barely stay awake when I was reading this section. It was just.
It doesn't really get good until the very end. The very end of the pirate story when he makes his buddies into a raft.
It's
a redundant analogy.
The comedian beating up, whatchamacallit.
What's that, Nick?
I think it's a redundant analogy. I think that the book, the main story covers most of those themes.
I think the whole, I think, not that it's the gimmick that Moore was going for, but I mean, it really is a book full of analogies. And they all rhyme and reflect off each other so much that I think it's inevitable that some of them seem less important or not needed.
Kind of feel like the pirate stuff is in there specifically just to mess with the reader.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because you're reading it trying to think there's some deep, you know, like, what's the deal with the pirates? Is there a deeper meaning?
As a kid, that's why I was, like, so angry every time I saw that.
Yeah, and then you, like, come, you, it's like you finish it and you're like, wait a second, this is the same story I've just been reading.
Yeah.
Because I like a lot of Alan Moore stuff. The Watchmen just didn't do it.
What kind of Alan Moore stuff do you
like? What year did you first read Watchmen?
2 years ago.
That's probably part of your problem because, well, no, because if you read Watchmen 2 years ago, you've already read Watchmen 100 other times in other books. Yep. You just didn't know it because Watchmen has influenced so much stuff that if you don't read it early enough, it doesn't have that same impact.
I agree.
Because that, I'll be honest, the first time I read it, the very first time was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and I had the same thing. I'm like, I just read this. It's supposed to be the greatest comic book ever written, and what's so special about it? And then kind of going back, I realized you have to put it in that historical context that before Watchmen...
So it was, what, early 80s?
It was like 85, 86. Yeah. But before Watchmen, no one had done Watchmen.
Right. So I was 9, right? I mean, I wasn't going to read that at 9.
You should have read it at 9. I read it at 9.
Well,
actually, no, I was like about 12, and
I
just remember.
I was 12 first.
You have sketchy parents.
I remember. I remember. never in, you know, Marvel or DC did I read something like Watchmen until I read Watchmen.
Yeah.
I actually, but I think the first time I actually read it was, well, tried to read it, put it that way, was one of my good friends. His older brother had bought it, and I started reading it, and I literally got about a quarter of the way through and was like, God, this is so boring. And I put it away.
I think if you did a serious poll of comic book fans that weren't there on the ground floor, that they don't want to admit it because it is Watchmen and you're not supposed to say bad things about Watchmen. But I think if you poll people who have only read it in like the last 10 years, you'd probably get a lot of people that say that. Because it's become
so... The Carlton Comics fan.
Yeah.
Sean, are you waving your hands because you have an opinion on this?
No, because...
It's hard. I can't tell who made the observation about when you read Watchmen.
It's Matt and Jeremy who are.
Matt hated it.
I think that's the most intelligent thing we've said in all of our podcasts.
Oh, that was me then. That was Jeremy.
Oh, if you need a biologist, Jeremy is looking.
No, because I was trying to figure out why, because I didn't read The Watchmen until maybe 3 years ago. And I kind of, to me, I felt kind of the same way. I was kind of anticlimactic. But after listening to you guys go through that, I'm like, wait a minute. So I was I've been influenced by the derivatives of the work for so long that by the time I went back to the original, it wasn't that original.
Right.
I guess you guys kind of got me to wrap my head around that.
It's kind of like watching a modern horror movie and then going back and watching something from the 70s and being like, this ain't scary.
Yeah, actually, Watchmen's like the Citizen Kane of comic books.
Yes.
Like, no one from our age appreciates Citizen Kane.
But if you look at the craft of it, it's amazing. But I'm just talking, like, kind of story. On a first read, what's the thing? You're not paying attention to, like, the symmetry of the art and the themes that Moore's... You're just reading the story. And if you read the story, it's kind of underwhelming because a lot of the story and the plot points and the characterizations are things that have become so enmeshed in the comic book culture that they're not original anymore.
Maybe you should call IDW whoever's printing those annotated sand mail. I would need your annotated Watchmen.
They have annotated Watchmen. There's tons of annotated Watchmen. Yeah.
Is there?
Type it in Google.
It is something that really benefits from multiple readings. You were saying, it is so dense. There are so many references and symbols and things that pop up that, like you said, if you're just reading it the first time, you get the story.
Yeah, stuff in the background.
Well, yeah.
What is it, issue number 8 that's the symmetrical issue?
Yes, the Rorschach issue.
That, when I finally caught on to that, which it took me 2 or 3 readings.
Yeah.
But there's an issue of Watchmen that's, like, symmetric from beginning to end. You read that knowing about that, it blows your mind.
Yeah. The first panel of that issue is the last panel of that issue, sort of in reverse, and the whole... Even the theme of the issue follows like a bell curve arc almost. It's really interesting to go back and look at it, just from an artistic perspective, to see what Gibbons did with all of that. I'm trying to think of some of the other... There's a lot of clock imagery, not just as like clocks everywhere, but things that just happen to be laid out. I mean, there's some really obvious ones like on the moon after the glass castle crashes, but, I mean... The bloodstain on the eye of the smiley face is supposed to be the doomsday clock, just like the scar on Comedian's face is the clock, just like almost everything in that book is the doomsday clock, really. And just, that's why I like to go back and reread it every now and then, just to pick up stuff that I never thought about before. And going back, I think, fresh is a really good way to sort of, it's like, yeah, I know the story, but I pick up on so many other things that excite me that I didn't pick up before, so...
Did you see the movie?
I did. I saw the movie after I read the book. I read the book...
I read the book intentionally...
Before
the movie.
Okay.
So that would tell you... I finished it the day before Colin and I went to see the movie.
Oh, okay.
So that should tell you, like, right around when I read it.
Yeah.
Now, did you like the movie?
I went all 10th grade on it because after issue 3, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to finish reading this without knowing how it ends.
Right.
So I watched the motion comic... Just to get the story out of the way, then I finish the issues.
Okay.
Man, that's like reading the Cliff Notes.
I went all 10th grade on it.
I actually thought that motion comic was the best out of the DC motion comics that came out at that time, because all they cut out was the text pieces between the issues.
Oh, I did like this issue. This is where he saw his mom.
But yeah, I read it about the time that I got into Ultimate Marvel, which is when I started reading mainstream comics again, but I read Watchmen, like, right after I'd read maybe the first 2 trades of Ultimate Spider-Man. So, like, conveniently, I missed that gap that you're talking about. Like, I hadn't read all this modern stuff yet. I hadn't read Dark Knight Returns or anything like that yet. And then I read Watchmen, and my small 13-year-old mind was just blown.
So you're saying image in this is supposed to be symmetrical?
No.
It's kind of if you start at the beginning and the end and read towards the middle. Okay.
I thought it was the issue that starts with his foot hitting the puddle. And by the puddle, I mean the puddle.
The poodle?
The poodle. Apparently he kicks a poodle.
You from Western PA? You take it out of the crick?
I'm trying real hard to... I think it's that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like the crick. So you used to ask me what Alan Moore stuff I liked. From Hell, V for Vendetta, and Lost Girls are probably the top three that I like. Lost Girls is just so out there. And
I'm a big top 10 fan.
What are?
Top 10.
Tom
Moore's top 10.
I didn't read that.
You know what? I think that you are probably the best person I know, best suited to give a commentary on Lost Girls. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you like about it?
That's for a different podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
Has anyone read Alan Moore's Miracle Man / Marvel Man?
How did you get a hold of that?
I don't know.
I might have read it.
I also might have read it. What was your take on that? Did you like it?
I need to reread it before I probably tell you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Probably not as much. It's been hyped up as this, like, holy grail, otherworldly thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it held up quite as much to my expectations. Doesn't mean I didn't like it.
I feel the same way.
What about Supreme?
What about what?
His Supreme.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
What made it so good?
It's a lot of the same themes, but it's much more thought out.
Yeah, it's somewhat...
And it's Silver Age fun.
It's somewhat similar to All-Star Superman. It's Alan Moore's love letter to Superman. Kind of like All-Star is Grant Morrison's...
Silver Age Superman.
Yeah, Silver Age Superman.
Oh, how interesting.
What's really interesting about it is that it's a Rob Liefeld character, and it was drawn by Rob Liefeld. And basically Alan Moore came along, and Rob Liefeld said, "Hey, do you want to do my character for a while?" And Alan Moore said, "Okay." And he did this really awesome, crazy...
Did he say, "I can't do worse"?
I don't know. But, you know. He did this crazy metatextual Alan Moore kind of thing with a, you know, 90s Image character. So it's kind of interesting because the art is very 90s Image, but then the story is really not.
Another good Alan Moore thing that I'd like is I'm reading Wildcats just to get caught up on some of the new DCU stuff.
Yeah.
And that's another book I thought Robinson wrote really well was his run on Wildcats. And then
that's good.
Alan Robinson Moore's, yeah.
Wow.
He wrote before Moore took over for Robinson.
Okay. I did not know that.
Joe Casey's run is still my favorite run on that book, but I do like that too.
I haven't, is that before or after Robinson?
It's after, it's 3.0.
No, it's 2.0.
No, 2.0, I'm sorry.
Oh, 2.0 and 3.0. He did both of those, 2 and 3.
He wrote it for a while.
Yeah, I didn't get that far yet. I'm still in the Alan Moore stuff. So I'm trying to read, as a personal hobby, I'm going back and reading Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, which the first volume of that was fantastic.
Uh-huh. I've heard fantastic things about that. I've always wanted to read that.
Going back reading that, Resurrection Man, Wildcats, the Dixon Grifter story, Ellis's Stormwatch. Trying to do a little history reading before the new DC stuff, just so I know who the... And that's
Read
just,
Authority.
Yeah, I have that. I just haven't got there yet.
Joe Casey's run on Wildcats, it focused almost all on Grifter. Grifter and Spartan.
Yeah, I have it. I just... it's like I read all my current week stuff, and then I try to read trades, and it's like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, it's one of those... Some weeks I can get through a trade, some weeks I get through an extra issue. Just depends. And I picked up Super Gods... So I now have 2 copies of Super Gods, and I'm reading one at lunch at work. I'm trying to read Hellblazer.
That's all. Kind of curious, though. If you take away Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns, are there any comics that are up there in the Mondo, like, 10-plus rereads for anybody?
You got Sandman out, too.
Okay, Sandman.
Those like would be the stuff, something I've reread?
Yeah, that like times? That many
sure.
times.
What'd you say, Nick?
Preacher, maybe?
Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
Long Halloween. Preacher.
Long Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, Long Halloween. I'll give you that. I've read that.
I've probably
five or
read
six
that
times.
Five
it's really
times.
Good.
Yeah.
What
is that, Sean? Oh, New Frontier.
Ooh. Very nice, Sean.
Absolute New Frontier.
New Frontier.
It's a doorstop.
I have that book also. It's amazing.
Well, I can't say I barely got through New Frontier the first time.
Yeah.
Hey, okay,
I have to agree with you, Matt.
On your recommendation, I've also started chewing on this.
Ooh, Usagi.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you got the big
one?
So, Colin, if you roll out Dark Knight Returns,
Watchmen
Sandman
and Sand.
Sandman and Watchmen, what's a book that you would reread more than 10 times? Frank Miller's Daredevil.
Yes.
How about Jinx?
Never read it. Never read it.
I have not read that yet either.
For it's me, really Authority, especially at least the first 2 volumes.
Yep.
You know, one I've been meaning to reread is Marvel's.
Yeah.
Um,
yeah, that was really good. That Eye of the Camera wasn't bad too, except for the 6 months in between issues.
Yeah, I read the first one. I didn't like it.
That was a tough one. Music, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Marvel's the Alex Ross one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100 Bullets?
I never finished 100 Bullets. First one was good.
You didn't like 100 Bullets?
I liked 100 Bullets. I liked probably the first 4 or 5 trades.
That's where I'm at.
Then there's
I
4 or 5 trades after that that I didn't like.
And got lost.
It got off the premise real
quick. And then when it wraps up, it gets back onto it and it's good again.
We have to throw out Starman because we talked about that earlier. That a lot of people would reread that. Which I'm interested in, I have to say now.
That's actually my problem with a lot of the books like 100 Bullets and even DMZ to some extent, although we're not at the end yet. It starts out really well. Then it has a few trades, because I'm only reading them in trades. It has a few trades that just aren't very good. And then all of a sudden, towards the end, it gets back into being good.
That Delgado part where he was getting nuked just kind of took me out of the story a little bit. But I thought that was like 6 issues in that kind of killed it for me. But it came right back after that. Like the whole... I thought the whole him running for president of Manhattan or whatever he was running for was good.
See, that's the part that took me out of it.
The arc where he had the nuke and it was like you know, how some random dude that's the president of a city gonna get a nuke? Like,
the trades with Parco in it completely took me out of it.
I could see that.
And then afterwards, I thought it was really good again.
It's getting there, but when he got off of that and it's back to Matt in the city.
Yeah, it's much really better. Yes,
I think 60 issues is the magic number for a Vertigo series. Preacher, Transmet, they both lasted that.
That was what I thought of Preacher. I could read.
Why the Last Man? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I wish Fables would have ended around that time.
Same here.
See, it's kind of interesting that a lot of the books we're talking about rereading are all Vertigo.
Yeah.
Dark Phoenix Saga. Yeah.
Actually, you know what held a lot of resonance for me is the Peter David run on Hulk. And one of the early stories has been collected numerous times, the Ground Zero trade paperback, where there's some Todd McFarlane art, Peter David writing, like a real good X-Men appearance, and it's got that iconic Wolverine cover where the reflection of the Hulk is in his claws. And it's Grey Hulk, all right? So you got the attitude of the Grey Hulk, and in a confrontation with Betty, where Betty Banner finds out she's pregnant with Bruce's baby. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there, a lot of cool dialogue.
Reading Hulk Grey. The Hulk Gray miniseries.
Hulk Gray, yeah. That's cool.
I thought Daredevil Yellow was the best of those.
Yeah, that's the only one I read, and it depressed me so bad. More than, really more than Bendis and Fraction and Brubaker.
You sold me on Spider-Man Blue.
I didn't finish that. I read
that one. Makes me cry.
I was reading that as it was coming out, and I only read the first couple.
That thing made me fall asleep.
What makes you cry? What makes it cry?
Peter talking about Gwen.
Oh, man.
It's a sad story.
Have you read it? Do you know what premise it is?
Yeah, it was so long ago.
Hey,
I don't remember.
Captain America White.
What happened?
Captain America White, yes.
Number zero, that's it.
Yeah.
Is that on the list of white?
What about Ultimate Spider-Man White?
Was that...
Oh.
Oh, man.
Was that really supposed to happen?
We just got meta.
just kidding? You know what made me cry recently? Marvel Man Classic. Volume 1, because it was $25 or $35.
Yeah, I ordered the first one of that, and when it came in, I went, no more, stopped ordering anything Marvel Man.
That's the worst trade I bought ever.
That was horrific. Newspaper, black and white, $35 for, what, 200 pages?
Oh, man.
I'm talking about how much they paid for the rights to it. I don't care.
No, it's
120
pages.
120 pages.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's
140.
I'm
sorry, man.
No, I hear you there.
The thing that hurt me the most about that whole debacle was that the guy who owned the rights in the first place, who they claimed, you know, gave them up when that comic company went down and gave them to Todd McFarlane or Neil Gaiman, was that, you know, at the whole end of it, he just was like, oh, I had them the whole time. I just forgot. Like, so really, after like 10 years of litigation and all this awful stuff that you apparently weren't paying attention to, you're just going to come forward now and just kind of sell them off.
But again, in 2 years, they haven't done anything.
Right, that's also...
Because they don't have the rights to the part everybody wants.
Somebody has to. Or just publish it and let somebody else...
And I'll tell you, some of the early Marvel Knights stuff, like Inhumans and Marvel...
Oh, Boy, that Inhumans, yes.
They read well again.
Yes.
Sentry.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Sentry was very... That was very good.
That trade, that Orc Sentry trade, the first...
That was very good. That's one. Maybe they could have left it at that and never do anything with him again. Instead,
don't
I don't know
wish,
what they did with him again.
Don't you wish they would have done?
Other than he had sex with both.
Oh yeah, no one.
I had to think. That was a good look, though. I like that look.
I had to think what you were thinking of for a second.
Too much energy getting into a man.
Thank you, David Niven.
Yeah.
Sean's probably the only one that understood that.
Anybody read Blankets?
Yes.
That's a good one.
I read that in one sitting at the behest of a friend that went to do it.
Is that the guy from Bone?
Craig Thompson.
I would say Essex County, but we're forbidden from talking about that one.
No, no, not forbidden at all. Just wow, that was good. That was
Stitches, Blankets, any... Oh, my God. I can't read any more of those books. I was like, I went on a tear where I read like a whole bunch of those books in that vein, and I was like, I think Colin, I was telling you, right after Stitches, I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Too emotional or too crappy?
Just read Owlie after that. That'll cheer you up.
And a nice corgi hardback always feels good after that.
After that long sitting with Blankets, it was like a huge punch in the gut.
Essex County was like that.
So, for the rest of us, what's Blankets about?
It's basically just an autobiography of this guy's life from when he was like from basically when he was five up until he's about 26, around the time that he wrote the graphic novel. And it's just, it's really real and it's really human despite the sort of cartoony art style. And it's really relatable. It's, you know, him having fun with his kid brother and then him in school and then going off to camp and finding his first girlfriend and his first love, and then by the end of it, I was just like, I'm going to go take a really long shower and think about my life.
You started out with a long shower after reading it.
I didn't know.
Is it like an autobiography about a guy who's not really that interesting?
I mean, it's interesting in that way that it's like that everyday relatable, like, this could be me.
Like, almost
guy.
It's too personal for me.
I guess because
I read comic books. For me, it's got that, it's the high escape value, okay? The world screwed up enough, at least, more so when I was a kid than now, but, you know, I could go read a couple issues of Spider-Man or Superman, the good guys win, the bad guys go to jail, and all is right with the world again.
And versus Blankets, which is like religious being, you know, repression and sexuality, it's a rough read.
Yeah. He does some really cool stuff with word balloons. In that book, sort of like what the characters are saying versus what they actually mean, and the way he pulls that off is just really great.
So is it like, hey, nice to meet you, and he's thinking like you're a real jerk? Is that like...
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it a thought balloon, because it's not like all bubbly like a thought balloon. It's just, I don't remember how he does it. It's been too long. That's one of the books that I would like to reread. So,
Colin, do we carry that?
Blankets?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got mine right here. It's a big book.
There's a hardcover coming out very in the near future.
That was another case where the hardcover was like $10 or $15 more than the...
You can rob a bank with a hardcover of that book.
Adam's taking a recommendation of All-Star Superman.
Yeah, I don't need to buy this.
This ain't a library.
I got my card here or something.
Get a sign so you can tap.
You can only do that if you sit in the red chairs over there.
So who's everybody's favorite new creator?
Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I'm going to go with Jason Aaron. He's from the South, as opposed to the traditional New York comic writer. He comes up with ideas that you wouldn't see from a New York comic writer.
How do you call him new? He has an omnibus coming out.
An omnibus coming out. You know?
If you have enough material for an omnibus, you're
he's
probably
got
two not
omnibuses. New. He's got Ghost Rider and Wolverine.
Okay, so that's
he's gonna. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's an architect. He can't be new.
Oh man,
I'd actually agree with you, Joe, on Jason Aaron, except for the fact The new Wolverine book I couldn't stand.
Oh, yeah? I haven't read that. It's on my list. I have it. I haven't gotten to it.
I think he's been around. He's just popular now. Like, I think he's newly popular.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, no, I mean, he is newish because he was doing, he did what, I mean, since I've been open, he came out with The Other Side and Scalp started. And then Marvel sunk their hooks into him and he did Ghost Rider and Wolverine Weapon X.
That was awesome.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
He did Killer.
That whole Asylum.
Ultimate Cap was awesome too.
I've heard good things about the Ghost Rider arc.
Yeah, but just the fact that they gave him an omnibus, it's like, yeah, okay, how about a Steve Ditko omnibus first? You know, give somebody with a little credibility.
I'll say Charles Soule, who's done really the only thing of note at this point, 27. What'd you say? Did I screw his name up?
No. I said, aren't you Frou-Frou? Charles Soule.
And then Josh Hale. You know how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Bialkoff. Yeah. When the Echoes hardcover comes out, that is a must read.
Still have all the issues on the shelf.
Okay, or you can read all the issues, because it is freaking
That was
fantastic.
Good. That was very good. That was nice. It was an ending you didn't... It read like a movie pitch... And you saw the end coming, and you're reading along, and it didn't go anywhere near where you thought it was going, which was really
Superman
cool.
Issues were good.
Yeah,
I picked those up
are.
Off of your recommendation of him as a writer.
Yeah,
and he's done.
But that's going to lead him to more stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got some unannounced thing from Marvel coming.
He did a book called Tumor.
If
it's a good read, but the presentation is just awesome. You just have the paper that's in it is so cool. I mean. I sound like a book nerd. Like the paper is me.
Yeah.
Is Fialfop doing iVampire?
Hey, no families there, Sean.
Yeah, he's
iVampire. Okay. I wasn't sure if he's doing iVampire or Men of War.
And he's a local guy for you Pittsburgh folks.
That's
he's
even
from,
better.
Well, he used to be. Lives in what? Hollywood. Yeah.
He lives in Hollywood now.
He was writing iVampire?
He is writing iVampire when it comes out next month.
Is Brian Q. Miller considered new?
I would.
I'd consider him new.
I like his background a lot.
He'll get something. It's funny.
Fun superhero book.
Everybody all upset that's over. It's like, relax.
Yeah,
a lot of books like that coming out, so I'm not that worried. But it was a fun book.
Yeah, it was.
How about favorite series, new series? So, I didn't see any of the emails about what we were talking about tonight, but I read the first two issues of the Red Skull miniseries last night. I only bought them for the covers, and now I'm watching
a long time.
Yeah, define new series there, Sean. Less than six issues?
I think it says one of five on it.
No. What do you mean by a new series for us? Like
benchmark.
Come back. Like new as in like recent.
A year.
Yeah, but okay, a year. All right.
But like I said, I picked these up for the covers, not expecting much of a story, and now I'm actually very, very interested. It does feel a little bit recycled. I feel kind of that. Is anybody else reading it?
It's
Magneto Testament all over again.
Yeah, just the other side. Side of the coin.
Yeah, and I love Magneto Testament, so I'm okay with that.
And I know. I know it's not the same guy doing the art, but it has that old man Logan kind of art feel to it. I don't know if that makes sense, but typically I don't. I think this story probably could have been told in four pages in a 70s Marvel book, but since they're stretching it out for five issues, at least the extra stuff that's in there is actually historically accurate. They're actually using. Historical names and places and events that happened in Germany during that time.
Did you read the interview with Alex Alonso about that book when he was talking about how he could finally take the copies of Mein Kampf and all the other stuff off his desk and quit getting asked weird questions? Because he was doing research for like a year before that book came out to keep it authentic. He's like...
I get it.
I'm
really, really enjoying this book.
Yeah, I agree, Sean. Those covers are amazing.
I want them as posters. They're sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're almost kind of creepy.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They're propaganda posters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gates of Gotham for me. I mean, we've all talked about it a bunch, but I guess the only thing I'll say is that I feel like since I've read issue 4, I feel like the first two issues were a lot better than 3 and 4, but I know that issue 5 is probably going to tie it up really awesome, so I'm not too worried about that. But I like standalone Batman series, that don't have to be wrapped up in continuity. As much of a fan of continuity as I am, I do like the occasional side adventure.
I'm into the Planet of the Apes miniseries, or I'm sorry, the ongoing series right now.
Is that connected to the new movie, or?
No, thankfully.
Okay.
it's old continuity, classic continuity, I suppose, and
oh.
It's...
I'm here.
It fills in the gap
it
between...
Popped up. A little messy from
maybe the birth of the Lawgiver and when Charlton Heston shows up,
but obviously
which means
can't.
Nothing to
okay.
Most people.
No, I'm reading it. That's my other... I talked about that series last week, so I wasn't going to jump on that one again. But yeah, that's been one of my books I look forward to each month now.
And I'm really into the... maybe I don't know if anybody else is, but the new Moon Knight series has really caught my
attention. Yeah, that one's
so
good.
Weird.
It feels like I'm reading his Daredevil again, which is okay by me.
Yeah.
It has that same feel.
Same team.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I like the Echo. I mean, I'm a big Echo fan. And just these characters are, maybe B to C-list characters. And I think Bendis does some of his best work with characters that, he can really own, like Jessica Jones when he basically owned her. And he owned... that's not very PC to say Luke Cage, but for a while he was the only one writing Luke Cage, and the character was way more interesting than when it was. Now he's in 7 books.
Yeah.
But just the idea behind this incarnation of Moon Knight is so weird that I think it works.
Yeah, definitely. It's really been good. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Chad's on mute. We don't know how to fix him.
Hey, on a side note, before we get too far from Bendis Daredevil run. Do you remember the issue that he talked about Pittsburgh in, Jeremy?
No.
It was like my favorite thing in that whole run where Daredevil declares himself the king of Hell's Kitchen, right? And yeah. And the rest of the superheroes confront him in the park. You know, Luke Cage, Spider-Man, and Reed Richards confront him in the park one day, like, Matt, what are you doing? Like, do you expect me to declare myself kingpin of Times Square? And then Spider-Man's like, yeah, and then... You know, who's going to be the kingpin of Squirrel Hill? You think Pittsburgh needs its own superhero?
I just think how his answer was like, you should do that. You guys should step up.
Yeah.
That run is the beginning of, and they're going backwards on this now, which is fine because it's been a while, but really the beginning of annexing Daredevil from the Marvel continuity and sort of carving out his own thing.
Uh-huh.
Except for when Frank Miller did it.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
So wait, how did
but
we get
that
from
said, there wasn't
new
like
series
universe
to
crossovers every 2 years with that during those demos?
My vote for favorite new series would be Planet of the Apes.
It's good.
It has been
by local creator, well, not super local, but Penn Stater.
Who wrote it? Who's the creator?
The guy lives out in State
Daryl
College.
Daryl White.
Right.
Daryl something. His
Daryl
Twitter's
Gregory.
Like Twitter. Daryl what?
Daryl Gregory.
There you go. His Twitter's Daryl Writer Guy or something like that.
There's a really good podcast interview with him on. I'm trying to think. What's the big podcast where it's like an interview?
Pittsburgh Comics.
Round Comics.
Oh shit! I shouldn't even imagine. I don't remember it. He interviews Bendis and does all of his Bendis message boards.
Oh, Word Balloon.
I'll think of it later.
Okay.
But he explains the whole setup of what he's going to be doing with it in broad strokes.
Yeah.
And it's really ambitious.
Is it the Word Balloon podcast?
Word Balloon, there you go. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
John Suntress, right.
I'd say my favorite new one I talked about last week, but Black Panther. I've actually loved that a lot more than I thought I would.
Really? Black Panther, Man Without Fear.
What? Yeah.
Yeah?
Changing its title again.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it's a...
The Most Dangerous Man Alive.
I mean, it's a combination of the writing. The writing is very noirish. It fits Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me a lot of the Priest run, kind of how a little bit of how they're characterizing Black Panther, and the art is
uh-huh.
just gorgeous. Francesco Francavilla.
How did they fit Black Panther into New York?
Basically, the premise is he's doing Matt Murdock a favor.
Uh-huh.
You know, since Daredevil's gone, he's basically taken up residence in Hell's Kitchen as the protector, and he has a diner as his little connection to the locals. And the first story arc is about a Romanian mobster with electric powers. But the part that kind of hits you halfway through is there's a serial killer.
Mm.
And they kind of do a couple of bait and switches on that. And you think you're reading a superhero thing about a crime boss, and next thing you know, it's a serial killer story.
Yeah, and there's a whole, you know, on the sensitive side of life, there's the whole journey of a guy trying to figure out how to survive without powers for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he's depowered after the, what was that, Claws of Fury or whatever that miniseries was where he lost his powers.
Yeah.
Mm.
So basically he's trying to rediscover
Claws
himself.
Claws of Fury. I don't know.
Just making him more Batman-like.
What was that book called? It was like a six-parter where they were in the Savage Land with
War
Vibranium.
Or something.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It's when Doom took all his Vibranium,
like
right?
That was Doom War. Yeah.
Was that Doom War?
Doom War.
It was the follow-up to Doom War.
The follow-up to Doom War. Okay.
It's sort of with a K.
I remember the cover, but yeah, I couldn't tell. Oh, Claw.
It's
yeah.
Times,
yeah.
Like that Eddie Murphy movie, Coming to America, where
it's like... You know, Sean, there are a couple scenes in the diner where I have that vibe.
I was like, I've read this, and wasn't that Arsenio Hall's?
But it is. I really enjoyed that as well. I like the writer. I've never read him before in anything that I know of.
Who is the writer?
David Liss.
Oh.
It's one of those I keep grabbing it, thinking I'm not going to like it, and yet it ends up at the top of my list. Like, I want to read
that
hate-monger
story that happened last time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? But, you know, quick Google search, we know who he is.
Yep.
Some dude with a pink, like... KKK robe went on, and I'm like, all right, what's going on here?
Oh, did not know who Hate Monger was?
I did not know who Hate Monger was before that issue of Black Panther.
The original Hate Monger was just Hitler.
Just Hitler.
That was the reveal, but it was like a big reveal when Stan Lee wrote it, and it takes his mask off, and it's Hitler, and it's like, that's not something you see coming.
And what book was that in, Nick?
Exactly. It's an old Captain America. I think it's Tales of Suspense. I could look it up.
That's all right. I was just curious.
There's a Google. But, he was a clone of Hitler. From Brazil or something.
Was he a life model decoy or an actual clone?
Actual clone.
Yeah, he was in a bunch.
Didn't clip it either.
He was in, like, 70s Cap stories, right?
Yeah, Tales of Suspense stories and Cap stories.
Yeah, Dave, the other thing he's writing now is that 12? Is that what it's called? The 12? It's another
Mystery Men.
Mystery
which
Men. Which
I don't
is the
know
12,
what. Yeah.
It's a 4-part miniseries that sounds a lot like 12.
But don't worry, that's coming back. They're going to finish it.
Yeah.
Sure. They're going to finish Neil Adams' Odyssey.
And all
too.
Four people are going to be interested. I'm sorry. I'm not being negative.
You know,
oh, there I'm slamming Marvel again. See?
Know, that was a cool idea when it was Project Superpowers.
Well, they came out about it at the same time.
But that was cool. The whole Alex Ross Project Superpowers was great. And then it was just like, oh, now we have this.
Uh-huh.
And now we have 6 spinoffs from Project Superpowers. Like,
uh-huh.
And now we're not shipping any of it.
Oh.
And, you know, at that point, there's only so much love I can give to 50s World War II heroes. And, or 40s World War II heroes, I guess, technically. And
seems like 40s. Alex Ross doesn't like new comics. That's just the impression that I get. He does all these projects about old comics, which is cool. I mean, I thought Project Superpowers was a cool idea, but I'd like to see him do something new. Didn't he have, like, a teaser preview for the new Fantastic Four thing yesterday or today, though? But, I mean, is he going to do the interior?
Alex Ross? I don't remember Ross having...
Maybe it wasn't a...
No.
Maybe it was Ross-esque.
No, it looked more like Jurjevic or one of those guys.
Being a Fantastic Four thing, I only kind of glanced at it.
Yeah.
So...
Because I was shocked. Johnny's coming back. I'm shocked.
Did they say that, or is that just
he's in Quesada's variant cover.
Did you see, though, just to spite you?
Oh, dear.
They're keeping FF and
just
to prove you wrong.
But
Colin.
Is it going to be a new Fantastic Four number one and FF 600? Are they going to
be all three?
Just to fake you out.
So wait, they're spinning up yet another?
No, they're bringing back Fantastic Four at 600, but they're not taking FF away.
So it's going to be a new series, essentially.
Essentially, two Fantastic Four series.
It's superheroes.
It's the, what did they
Jeff,
used to call it? The Mighty Marvel one? That's just what Marvel does that all the time.
Just to spite you, it's not actually Johnny. It's just some kid on the street. They doused him in gasoline.
No, it's not. It's Toro. No, it's the original human.
Colin, come on. We all know what it really is.
What really?
It's Nick Fury's solution to every problem. It's the life model decoy.
Or actually, he doesn't have a Doom bot.
Actually, the life model decoy is what's in the negative zone.
Oh.
And that
Johnny
makes
was just
sense.
On vacation in Aruba.
It's so different.
You'd think by now that Dr. Doom would make better Doom bots now that they have life model decoys.
Well, see, Dr. Doom...
I think he would have stole them and made them into them.
Doom's problem is just not focused enough, right? He's got science, he's got magic, he's got his power trip. I mean, come on, if you're going to be like a...
If he combined it, he can make some really cool thing.
Right,
you know?
But if you're going to be an evil villain, focus.
He can make a robot that he puts a human soul in, you know?
I feel like... He'd have to have one of his own first, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like this is the Lex Luthor argument. If he wasn't spending so much time twirling his mustache, he could get cancer or something.
No, Superman must die.
The only difference there is, I think, given the chance, Lex Luthor would want to do that. I don't know that Doom ever would.
Didn't Lex Luthor have cancer, though, at one point, or something?
In the 90s.
Doom just wants power.
You think that's when he would have focused on fixing that?
What was that, Nick?
Doom's whole shtick is that he just thinks everyone's beneath him.
Right.
And he thinks that everyone's children, and he's the only adult in the room.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people
like
that.
He still retaunts him, you know, like, so what's the whole deal with having all those Doom bots basically as now Reed's slaves running around doing his chores for him, you know? Is that really necessary? And you wonder why Doom's, you know, never wants to play nice? I mean, Reed wins and then rubs his face in it every time.
Every time, yeah, I agree. He is very annoying in that way.
You do have to like the evolution of the Doombot, though, because Hawkeye slept with one and thought it was really Scarlet Witch.
That's true. That's true.
What does that say about Scarlet Witch? I mean, here's a woman that you know, thought she had kids with a robot in the first place.
No, I never thought of that twist, Nick.
That's the weirdest couple in comics. I just posted a thing on Facebook about the fairly obscure, somewhat obscure character, Nocturne, formerly of the Exiles, and she's an alternate reality daughter of Scarlet Witch and, what do you call it?
Nightcrawler.
And she has one of the weirdest family trees possible. Weirder almost than any of the Scott Summers Gray stuff.
I'd agree with that.
Is it worse than Pietro and... Or not Pietro.
They're part of it, because it's she's Scarlet Witch's alternative, you know, daughter.
Coulson?
So it's the worst of Magneto's family tree, and the worst of Nightcrawler's, which includes people like Rogue and Sabretooth and Graydon Creed and
Zazel
and all the demons from Nightcrawler's and the Abyss. And it's terrible. X-Men... What people hate about it is the only thing I love about it. Just the minutiae of continuity.
I like that we started on the unapplicable logic of real life as applied to comic books, and then we lapse into the surrealism, which makes it really fun.
Yeah. Nick, the fact that you know the genealogy of characters really scares me.
X-Men's a lot about that, unfortunately. You start looking at Apocalypse and Sinister.
Sent a contact request.
They engineered most of the characters they ended up having to deal with later.
Okay.
It's very incestuous, the X-Men world. That's why they're mutants.
Oh my god.
I thought they were mutants because Stan Lee was bored and didn't feel like creating an origin story.
That's the real reason. Plus, they're the X-Men because nobody knows what a mutant is.
But, you know, none of it can be as bad as what's happening between Scarlet Witch and Pietro and the Ultimate line of comics.
Oh, so, thank you, Jeff Loeb. Yeah. That actually got me to stop reading most Ultimate books.
It's Ultimates, three?
Ultimates
3, and then this new, it called? Fallout. Fallout, the last
issue. I haven't read anything since then. I read that issue and went, no, it's not
well,
true.
They got
Ultimatum
right back into it. Because
I figured I needed to read it.
Frankly, I think this was the worst of it, though, in this last Ultimate Fallout.
So what do people think of Ultimate Fallout? I think it's kind of hokey. To be honest, it's like, let's look at how everybody deals with the death of Spider-Man. And now we have some random kid, like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool that everybody was like, dude, that costume's in bad taste. Like, did anybody else read it?
I didn't know how I could choose 2 and 3. So I picked up, the first one after the death of the Spider-Man. And then the next thing I know, issue 4 is out. So what happened in 2 and 3? So I have 1 and 4.
More pretend funeral stuff.
Yeah. Steve Rogers got smacked by Aunt May.
Aunt May laid the smack down on Steve.
It basically went from Parker's funeral to now it's just little vignettes introducing all the Ultimate Relaunch books.
Yeah.
Basically give you the state of what the universe is.
Yeah. Staying completely objective, despite my feelings on Marvel, which don't matter in my reading of a comic book, I got bored after issue 3 of Ultimate Fallout. I was just kind of like, eh.
But you had to read 4?
But I didn't read
that
4,
was the
remember?
Famous one. That's the one that's going to be worth money.
It's polybag. It was clear polybag.
Did you not read it because you kept it in the polybag?
No, I didn't read it. I didn't buy it.
That was the special polybag.
That was an issue to me that suffered from the media hype, right? It was, oh my God, there's a new Spider-Man. Oh, he's half black, half Mexican. All of a sudden, it's like, oh look, there's Spider-Man on top of a building. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So that's where, because we all know that's how a lot of new characters are introduced in Marvel Comics, anyways, right? It's in the shadows for a couple of issues and then half a phase, or,
right.
You know, giving us just a little glimpse. Because you're right, in that issue, like, you could tell he was of color, but it didn't come out to say any of this stuff. You have no idea where his powers came from.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest thing with it.
And you don't really, you know, it doesn't really put anything in context. So, you know, for those of us that read comics on a regular basis, which I think is probably everyone listening and on this podcast, you know, that's normal for us. But when people coming in from the outside, I'd be the same way. Well, they said it was going to have all this information, and the book didn't really have that in it.
Yeah, I just felt very underwhelmed with the reveal.
But the kangaroo's back.
But
ultimate kangaroo.
Ultimate kangaroo is.
Here's my problem as a retailer. It's a bag. I can't open up a bag to read it because then I can't sell it as a
because people want new. A bag. Yeah.
Right. So
I've copy and feed or eat?
But, you know I'm
yeah,
good.
But here's the question.
I'll wait for the trade and then not read it in the trade.
Kind of along the lines of what Sean's saying. Would you have been as underwhelmed by it as you were if it hadn't broke on the front page of USA and had all the media coverage, if it had just been issue?
The reveal of the person inside the suit wouldn't have been any different to me. The fact that there was a new Spider-Man would have been. Because you never saw him up until this issue, right?
Right.
His first appearance is here. And I'm reading, and I'm seeing one as I'm reading it, I'm going, Where's Spider-Man? If I was reading it and had no clue that Spider-Man was coming, and I would have flipped the page and went, I would have been like, what the heck's going on here? Whereas it's like, oh, it's about time you get the Spider-Man, because he was, like, in the last third of the book.
Right.
And also, for me, I don't think it really gave me, like, a reason to care, like, who he was. I mean, it didn't explain who he was. I thought he was a totally different person, actually, because I thought he was somebody else that was mentioned in the book a while back.
So I'm torn on the Ultimate books, the new Ultimate books, because I like the creative teams, but I don't really care about the universe.
And I think I would have liked it if they would have thrown somebody that we kind of knew in already. That way we would have had some sort of reason of why.
I would have just said let him be
dead. You know,
dead.
We wanted to. Yeah, that too. Either that or just let him be dead if he's going
to
be dead.
But Bendis wouldn't have something to write then.
He's got enough.
Because he doesn't have like 7 other books he's working on.
Conversely, I thought the execution was poor, and I agree with you guys on that. But I do like the promise of what's coming only because it's finally the Ultimate Universe gets to explore the Marvel Universe in different ways as opposed to let's rehash the Dark Phoenix saga. Let's rehash the Hellfire Club.
How different is it?
That's what I'm looking forward to, isn't it?
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, exactly. This is a legacy Spider-Man. That story's never been told. This is the death of Spider-Man. You know, actually, put him in the ground and have an Aunt May cry over him. That story's never been told. So that part I like. I like the promise of the future, but the execution by the team that, you know, won't be doing the books was pretty poor.
Hmm.
I thought, who wrote that part of it?
Bendis.
Bendis writes
it. Was it Bendis? Oh, yeah, he wrote that part. I didn't think that was a bad story, just there wasn't much to it.
It was a letdown after all the hype. It's like going to see the big summer blockbuster after you've seen 12 minutes of trailer and you saw 12 of the 13 great minutes of the movie.
What was all the big hype? All it was they said, there's a new Spider-Man, his name's Miles Morales. He's half black, half Hispanic.
Yeah,
and that was it.
It was
some big reveal.
So here's the thing. That got more media attention than the new DCU.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, day.
Congressman Wiener got a lot of attention. It doesn't mean it's good or interesting. It just means there's certain things that get attention.
It just seems like, but what was the last big Marvel press release that was in the USA Today before that?
Johnny.
Was it Death of Spider-Man?
Death of Spider-Man.
But that got more promotion than DC and me. New DC.
Yeah, but the Rawhide Kid got all kinds of press, too.
See, I did?
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Slap Leather.
That was like the Bill Genesis' last big thing.
Okay. It's kind of funny that...
Bill was pretty cool.
It's kind of funny that that type of thing, that the death of Ultimate Spider-Man even got any hype. The only reason it really did was because people out there thought it was Spider-Man.
Well,
because
they left out
it was
the
Spider-Man.
Ultimate,
yeah.
Said it was the death of
just
Spider-Man.
To bring it out. Uh-huh. Like,
but to me, it's
the death of Robin. Everyone's like, oh, wow, it got mainstream press because it was death of Robin, but it really wasn't. It was death of Jason Todd.
What about the death of Bucky? That got no mainstream press.
There was death of Superman thing they tried.
See, I guess the thing to me is it's I don't understand it is where I'm coming from. Is it like, this isn't a big event. This is like an honestly, I think it's a cash grab on the whole discrimination BS going on against DC right now. And I think it's a money grab and they're trying to play off that. But DC is actually...
This is kids. It's actually really in line with, you know, where he's coming from and what he's thinking about. And I mean, from that perspective, it sort of makes sense.
But DC is doing something revolutionary as a company.
Yeah.
Right, Marvel's just.
But DC's really only promoting it to people who read comic books now. They're not
right now, but we have 3 weeks to ramp up. Because if they spend everything too early,
if you're the media, like you're the mainstream media, what's easier to spend? DC is changing their entire kind of business model, or. Hey, they killed Spider-Man.
Well, the other
thing we brought him back and he's
the
black.
OMG.
Not only
the
that,
only
it's
thing
like
with
Black Spider-Man and Black Spider-Man. Like
right.
those are attention grabbing words.
The other thing too is with the DC change and stuff, they're not leaking a lot of. They're not letting a lot of information come out. So what's the media
going to
hype?
Right, but again, we're 3 weeks away, so they don't want to leak it too soon because then you get people. That's the reason Marvel releases all their stuff on Tuesday. Before the books come out.
Bendis says it's because it generates traffic in the stores. I have the same reaction.
Wait.
Colin's look of disdain is palpable.
Well, no, but why bag a book if you already released all the news to the media?
Yeah.
You even showed the pages that are, you know, in question.
Right.
And then you send me a bag book. You know, what's the point of bagging it?
Was the price raised on that book?
No, I honestly don't know. I don't think so.
Got to pay for the bag.
They're all in $3.99.
But I mean, the same thing with Johnny Storm. You know, it's a black bag book.
But totally.
When the only purpose of the bag is to keep you from peeking to see what happens, and then they release it the day before. You know, Death of Superman. You know, they had a big Superman logo with blood. You know, you knew he was dying in it. But the bag was.
Well, he was dying in it because it was a 6-month-long crossover called The Death of Spider-Man.
Well, no, but like The Death of Spider-Man, yeah. But I'm saying the Superman. No, but I mean the Superman one. You knew he was dying, but the reason for the bag was for the poster and the armband. Whereas Marvel stuff, they're bagging for the sake of bagging. They're kind of forgotten. The purpose of the poly bag was because even when they did it back in X-Force...
I still want to know what happened
in
X-Force number one.
Yeah. Hey. I can help you there.
You know what? I'll help you out. I'll get you one of the seven copies outside.
You know, if they threw a card in, you'll have about a Miles Morales
trading
card or something neat, but it was just a bag.
But they're playing to meet people like me and Nick who will... And I will say I did not buy two of the clear poly bags.
Right.
I did buy two of the Death of Spider-Mans.
I love the variant. My favorite was the
really
variant... Variant Ultimate, Death Ultimate Spider-Man, they had a variant bag.
I think the variant bag was by accident. I don't think that was...
No. It was like a white bag. It was like
that.
A 1 in 25 variant white bag.
I saw the black with the orange spider that had the signed Bendis costume.
Right, no, not that one, but there was a variant bag.
But I think they're playing to people like Nick and I, who are collectors, who will buy two copies so we can read one and buy one.
Just write good stories.
Yeah. Sorry,
that's
Nick,
the biggest thing.
You.
Just write good stories.
Good story. Oh, are we running low on time here? Oh, we got 3 minutes left, so...
No. Let's wrap it up.
Thank.
We don't have to use every minute, Adam. We really don't.
On the other spectrum of things, I try not to pay attention too much to the stuff that comes out on USA Today because those press releases are aimed towards people who don't read comics.
And they all start biff, bam, pow. That's my favorite.
Right, exactly. So, you know, when it broke, you know, I came home from work the other day and my dad was like, oh, I heard X-Men's ending. And I was like, it's ending for like a month and then it's going to come back. And then, you know, same thing. Oh, I heard Spider-Man died. He's going to die for a month and then he's going to come back as somebody else. Which, I'm not mad about that. That's fine. It's just like, I try not to get bent out of shape about that kind of stuff because that's Marvel and DC.
Temporary.
Well, not just that, but that's Marvel and DC. That's how they communicate with the public.
They're trying to appeal to somebody who's not coming into the comic store now.
Right.
But, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, but my big thing is having to explain to everybody on the outside who doesn't read comics that knows that I read Spider-Man, and then they're like, oh, did you hear Spider-Man died? And then I have to explain to them, well, it's not this universe, it's that universe. Well, yeah.
You should go into work like in a black shirt.
I know.
Like you're a total train wreck. Right. Spider-Man died.
We'll give him credit. You're still having people come into the shop asking about Death of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the gateway.
But it is. I mean, in some ways, it's worked. I mean, you do get people in, but rarely do they come back. The single biggest thing that has brought people into my store is the Watchmen movie.
Really?
Wow. And the interest in Watchmen,
more
the
than
book.
The Walking Dead TV series.
It's hard to say, only because those people coming in for The Walking Dead get The Walking Dead, and it's a pretty narrow window. They rarely branch up, but just to give an example, Justin Pinto came in because he locked his copy of Watchmen in his office, and it was Friday, and he wanted to finish it, so he stopped by to grab another copy.
Oh, wow.
Well, now you know he's in three times a week, you know, and he's expanded and, you know, bringing in a lot more stuff. So, but that one is because... It was different with Walking Dead. Okay, I'll wait and I'll come get the next one when it's out in 6 months and I don't see him again. With Watchmen, it was a case of, okay, what else do you have? We'll try this, and you get a broader thing. So that, I have to say, by far has been the biggest benefit.
Batman and Robin? That didn't do it for you?
Well, I wasn't open.
Oh,
yeah. Nice try.
But
another comparison, the nice thing about Watchmen just being a finite thing, you had the Batman movie. If somebody came in, that was right in the middle of R.I.P., where they just killed Batman. How in the world do you get somebody into a Morrison story and, you know, you can't do it. And then most of the other movies, I mean, I'll give Marvel credit. They, you know, for Iron Man, they came out with a new number one. For Thor,
that's
they came
correct.
Out with a new
that's
number one.
So far.
And Cap, they've come out with a new number one. But
so next summer,
it hasn't...
Avengers number one.
Oh, you've... Okay, this is Colin by himself here, sitting at home. We kind of ran out of room there, which we haven't done for a while, with this new longer tape. But there was a couple other points I wanted to make. I was talking about how the Marvel stuff hasn't really helped as far as sales. What I was pointing out is if somebody watched Captain America and they came in, oh, I just watched Captain America, what do you have? And you get, you know, great having that number one to be able to introduce them to. But a lot of times they'll just try that. It didn't generally lead to more. I haven't had anybody come in and jump to Avengers or anything else like that. Whereas with Watchmen, there's just a whole world. Okay, I read Watchmen. What else do you have? Well, here, V for Vendetta is by the same author, if you like that. Or, you know, DC did a great job promoting that, giving us booklets for which we could... you know, introduce, hey, we can try this and this. You know, what aspect of it did you like? Did you like the team aspect? Well, great, then maybe Avengers or Justice League. Did you like the old-time of adventure? Did you like the murder mystery? You know, which part of it did you like? There was a lot of ways we could go with it. And we've added a lot of customers, and I've added, you know, a lot more people through that. I don't have my sales number handy, but I probably sold, I'd say probably... I don't know, 50 to 60 copies of Watchmen just from the interest in that movie. And there's no way I've come anywhere close with any of the Marvel stuff. Just interesting when Matt said that there'll be a new Avengers. Will we get a new Spider-Man number one, even though we're getting a new Spider-Man book now? Maybe. One thing that bothers me with all the new number ones from the movies is they're all kind of like fake number ones. I'm sure we'll talk about this more next week. Next week, I think we're going to go through the previews catalog, and one of the books in there is The Incredible Hulk number one, which I don't know why we have, other than we're getting a new creative team because Greg Pak left the book. But is one writer leaving a book
that he hasn't even been writing the whole time, is that valuable enough to create a whole new book? But we'll deal with that tomorrow or next week. So I just kind of wanted to finish the thought we were talking about, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.